Lou Williams connects on a three, but too little, too late. And the Denver Nuggets can just dribble it out as they win yet another game seven. A shocking upset. They eliminate the heavily favored Clippers here in the second round, and an historic series win. 6-0 in elimination games here in the bubble. Much respect for the coaching staffs. As the Denver Nuggets are going back to the Western Conference Finals for the first time in 11 years.
All right, so the Nuggets get it done last night. Come back from 3-1 to beat the Clippers. What? Wow, nobody saw that one coming. Nobody saw that one coming. You know, we'll take credit, we'll take blame. You ready? Dusty and I both said before the playoffs, a sleeper in the West, the Nuggets. We take credit. Before the season, I said Clippers are going to win it all. Take the blame. If you bet on that, I'm not responsible. That was your choice to bet money in Vegas on the Clippers, okay? And last night, yesterday, I wanted to say Nuggets just to be different, but I just didn't see it. I just thought the Clippers are going to count Kawhi. I kept resting it on Kawhi. I was like, Kawhi is going to find a way. And you and I both picked the Clippers yesterday, mm-hmm. win game seven, so we were wrong on that one as well, as was probably most people. The Nuggets had the two best players on the floor last night, and I've been telling my son, whoever has the better stars wins these series. You can look at every single series in the playoffs. The team with the better or bigger stars have won. And you expected that to be Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Instead, it was Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. We talked about these two last year when they made the run in the playoffs, that this is the future. These guys are fantastic. Jokic last night was insanely awesome and only took 13 shots. He was only 5 of 13 from the floor, but he had 16 points, 13 assists, and 22 rebounds. He had a triple-double early in the third quarter. And Jamal Murray had 40 points, 20 in the second quarter alone, 25 in the first half. Earlier in the series, when the Clippers went up 3-1, Murray was being hounded by Beverly. Then they switched Leonard on him. Then they put George on him, and he looked tired, and he really struggled. But the Nuggets made adjustments. They did some pick-and-roll action. They were able to get George switched off to where they could go at Lou Williams, who's not a good defender because Lou Williams is more of an offensive threat. All of a sudden, that got Murray going. Mm-hmm. And then you got your role players starting to make shots. Jokic is the X factor, though. He is a point. He's like a point guard in a seven-footer's body. He goes at his methodical, somewhat slow pace, but it works. And you just can't defend the guy. He's got great vision. And he didn't even shoot the ball well yesterday, but he controlled the game. He was fantastic. The Nuggets come back from 3-1 for the second straight series. And it was interesting. This did cross my mind yesterday, and I didn't say it on the air, but the only other team I can think of in pro sports, the Royals came back from 3-1 twice in 1985 to win, you know, the World Series, the one the ALCS. And that's what the Nuggets did. Coming back for 3-1 against the Jazz. And think about this. We talk about the razor-thin difference between winning and losing in all levels of sports. Mike Conley had a three-pointer rim out at the buzzer in game seven against the Nuggets in round one, or the Nuggets are done in the first round, and we could be talking about Clippers moving on, or the Jazz could be in the Nuggets position. So this is how coaches get fired, man. This is how coaches get extensions and get fired. Mike Conley's shot goes in and out. Mike Malone, the head coach of the Nuggets, then they win the series. Then they come back from 3-1, beat the Clippers. Mike Malone's in pretty good shape to be a coach for a while with the Denver Nuggets. And they lost that first round series, down 3-1. That ball goes in by Mike Conley. Suddenly, Quinn Snyder's thought of differently at Utah, and Mike Malone's not thought as highly of in Denver, even though he wouldn't have got fired because that shot would have gone in. It is amazing, amazing, the difference between winning and losing. It is super razor thin, and now the Nuggets are going to Western Conference Finals. A couple more things to put a bow on that one. The Clippers, man, they look tired to me. I mean, the Nuggets are 6-0 elimination games. They should be the ones tired. The Clippers look tired. They have load management with Kawhi during the season. He looked tired. There are reports now that key players of the Clippers asked to come out due to being tired. That's not a good sign. No. It's not like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are 35. The Clippers are up 3-1 in the series. They squandered a 13-point lead with 1:25 left in the third quarter of Game 5. Should have closed it then. They gave away a 19-point lead in the third quarter of Game 6. And last night in Game 7 had a double-digit lead. And early in the third quarter led by 7. Hey, I wasn't shocked Paul George didn't play well. Paul George, I love the guy. I do. I really like Paul George. But he's just not a big-time, prime-time player when it comes to crunch time in the playoffs. Paul George was 4 of 16 for the game, 0 for 6 in the fourth quarter, 0 for 5 from 3. The guy who talked about Portland going to Cabo earlier in the postseason ended his own with a highlight reel led by getting outplayed by the side of the backboard. He hit a side of the backboard on a 3 in the fourth quarter. I mean, the guy just cracked. Doc Rivers, 3 times his coach teams have blown a 3-1 series lead. There's 13 teams in NBA history that have blown a 3-1 lead. Doc Rivers has 3 of those. Doc Rivers should catch some heat, too. And what happened to Kawhi Leonard last night? That's the guy you got to count on. He's like a robot, a machine. 6 of 22, 0 for 5 in the fourth, and he looked exhausted out there to me at the end. The Clippers were cracking and feeling the pressure in the fourth quarter. I mean, that game was still up for grabs going in the fourth quarter, and they just absolutely, I thought, cracked and pressed and didn't trust each other. And then Doc Rivers says afterwards, well, you know, the Nuggets are a team. They've been playing together. It's our first year together, blah, blah, blah. You were up 3-1 in the series and up 15 in the third quarter and 19 in game six. That had, team chemistry had nothing to do with that. You were up 3-1. It didn't hurt you when you got up 3-1.
Yeah.
No, your team cracked. Your team, I don't want to say choked because I think that's taken away from the Nuggets because the Nuggets played great. The Nuggets should get credit for this series win, but a lot of people are going to say, well, the Clippers fell apart. Clippers being the Clippers, and that's true. And that big gamble of trading so much for Paul George. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are free agents after next year. So they're going to have 2 years with these two guys. Mm-hmm. So it has to be this year or next year to win a championship, and it obviously isn't this year. They're done. And they've never, the Clippers have never, ever, ever made it to the Western Conference Finals, let alone the NBA Finals. It was a big upset, and the Nuggets got it done. And that's two straight series where they're down 3-1, come back to win. It's pretty, pretty amazing. And I have to admit, the Nuggets are fun to watch. When Jamal Murray is hitting and making shots, time he shoots, you're just waiting for it to go in. The kid is just, he's a little bit streaky, but, man, he's fun to watch. And that's a guy at Kentucky that didn't light it up, drafted on potential. Jokic was a second-round draft pick. I mean, the Nuggets didn't just go out and get lottery picks to fill this team.
No.
You know, I got Michael Porter, who doesn't play defense, but he's a good offensive player. He's young. The future is super bright for the Nuggets. Whatever they do against the Lakers next series.
I knew that last year.
Sure, we did. Yeah, but then you saw Porter get better this year. He had been hurt his whole college career. Now I got Bol Bol, who doesn't even play. I mean, they got some young. Grant's become a better player from the Thunder now to the Nuggets. And Jokic keeps getting better. Murray keeps getting better. I mean, the Nuggets are just a collective team, and they were the better team last night.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, last year it was kind of like I'm watching the Nuggets. I'm like, how is the Spurs going to lose? Like, this was the matchup they wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And I know it was 2-7, the Nuggets were the 2-seed, but I'm sitting here like, this team doesn't even have a star.
Yeah.
But they're building into stars now. You know, and they really didn't. I don't think they were quite there last year to that superstar status. And they're maybe not there yet, but, man, they're certainly building.
Jamal Murray is just unreal
right now.
Oh, yeah.
When he's on, and he can, like I said, the Nuggets adjusted to what the Clippers were doing defensively, and Murray started to get his and obviously got his last night. And I mean, Jokic, you're going to count on him all the time. I mean, he does things that aren't going to go away. I mean, it's just consistency, and he's a nightmare. Yeah, exactly. And you just really can't do anything about it. I mean, Jokic's going to be there as long as he's healthy.
Man,
he's going to be there.
He's good. Once again, 5 of 13 from the floor and controlled the game.
I like the one-handed rebounds and just heaves down the floor.
Did you see his no-look pass at the end of the game to Murray? It was on the money, and Beverly had to hammer Murray and put him on the line. I mean, Jokic also was toying with these guys.
Yeah.
That was the NBA favorite to win it all, the Clippers. I know a lot of people talk about Lakers. The Clippers were the favorite. The Clippers, even though the 2-seed, a lot more people picking Clippers over Lakers like I did because I thought the Clippers were deeper and were going to be a better defensive team. It just didn't materialize. So now Anthony Davis will go up against Jokic. That'll be very interesting because the Clippers don't have anything like Anthony Davis to throw at Jokic. But, man, I tell you what, it's going to be a fun series. Lakers and the Nuggets, they'll start that series. That'll be coming up on Thursday, I do believe, or is it Friday? It's going to be Friday. Friday will be game one of the Western Conference Finals. The other NBA game last night, my goodness gracious. You know, I picked the Celtics to win in 7. My son picked the Heat to win in 7. And this game came down to the wire.
Butler downhill on Tatum. Into traffic. Got it! And 1! Clutch time, Dade County. Jimmy Butler delivering. Clock at 7. Working against Butler. Got downhill. Couldn't punch it. Bam says, get it out of here. Out of bio. Sky high with the block and rejection. Tatum makes the catch. Got it off in time, online, but no good. And the Heat win game one.
If I've ever seen a series of two evenly matched teams and I'm convinced it's going 7 games, it's this series. Bam, what a preppy name last night. What a block shot. I mean, Tatum was going for that tomahawk dunk. I don't know how you don't break your hand and wrist. And Bam blocked it cleanly. He didn't even breathe on the guy. And saved the game to prevent double overtime. Bam Adebayo, what a block. And Goran Dragic, we say so much about Jimmy Butler, and we talk about the Celtics probably have the bigger names, and they maybe are the more talented team with the young players like Tatum and Jaylen Brown and others, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart. But Goran Dragic had 29. A lot of people don't talk about him.
He's kind of
really
under the radar
player.
Guy, too, for sure.
And the guy from Kentucky, Tyler Hero, who wasn't a great player at Kentucky, but very talented, drafted on potential again, he played really well last night. A lot of people don't know who's on the Heat besides Jimmy Butler. The Heat went in overtime last night, 117-114. They take a 1-0 lead in that series. And game two will be on Thursday between, actually, yeah, that's right, Thursday between the Heat and the Celtics. No games on the docket for today in the NBA playoffs. All right, local sports. There was some volleyball last night. Dusty's going to catch you up to speed as to what took place for teams in North Central Kansas last night.
Yes, volleyball scores from Tuesday. Beloit at Minneapolis, and they get a sweep in that NCAA league matchup. They won both those matches in two. Beloit's now 6-4 on the season, now 2-0 in the NCAA. Thunder Ridge Triangular, St. John's Tipton won twice to improve to 8-0. They beat Thunder Ridge in three, and they beat Pike Valley in three as well. All three of the matches there in Kensington went three sets last night as Thunder Ridge beat Pike Valley in three in the final match. And Thunder Ridge is now 11-2 on the season after going 1-1 last night. Lakeside goes 2-0 last night at the home Triangular, beating Chase in 2 and Lincoln in 3. Lakeside 7-2. Lincoln beat Chase in 3 in the other match. The Osborne Triangular, Sylvan Lucas beat Osborne in the first match in two sets, and then Osborne beat Natoma in two sets. So the Lady Dogs go 1-1 there at their home Triangular on Tuesday. Tascket Triangular, Rock Hills beat Tascket in 3, excuse me, and they lost to Southern Cloud in 2. And then in the Mid-Continent League at the Norton Triangular, it was Smith Center defeating Oakley in 2 and beating Norton in 2. Smith Center is now 6-0 on the season with those victories. So if you missed any of those scores, if you want the full scores of the sets, you can visit ncksports.com.
All right, so look forward to locker room chats today. Of course, we have football on Friday. We got all of that posted at ncksports.com. Big news today, the Big Ten finally making their decision. The Big Ten announcing that its Council of Presidents and Chancellors has voted to allow the league to play football in fall of 2020. Big Ten will open its season on the week in October 24th with teams playing 8 games in 8 weeks, which means they don't have any leeway here. The idea was October 17th, and they'd have a week to reschedule something. So interesting. Big Ten championship game is scheduled for December the 19th. This would make the Big Ten eligible for the college football playoff as the final CFP rankings announcement of the season comes on December the 20th. The conference will now feature daily rapid COVID-19 testing as a focal point of its return to play again. Testing for athletes and coaches will begin on September 30th. The earliest an athlete could return to game competition is 21 days following a positive diagnosis. And additionally, the Big Ten unveiled new information on its plans for myocarditis screening in the wake of any positive test. Both of those are major concerns that are among the main reasons why the Big Ten's original decision was to cancel fall football on August the 11th. As we said all along, Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Greg Sharp, voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Toby Rowland, voice of Oklahoma Sooners, all agreed when we had them on shortly after the decision by the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they all said, why did they have to make a decision on August 11th? They could have waited this out a little bit. They did not. They rushed. They thought everybody would get in line and cancel and stop all at once. And, of course, the SEC and ACC said, we're not doing that. Big 12, waffling, decided, you know what, we're going to go with the SEC on this one, which was a good call so far. And now the Big 10 is obviously reversed their decision because of pressure, because of people from Nebraska who were vilified by Michael Wilbon, who should issue an apology to the University of Nebraska, in my opinion, as should Desmond Howard. But they won't. Because, they have these huge, gigantic egos, especially Wilbon. So those two will not apologize. But here's the thing. Nebraska is the one that kickstarted this whole thing. And they were the catalyst for it. And to me, that is leadership. You know, all this stuff about questioning Nebraska and questioning the leadership of the Big Ten, we found out later that Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, was questioning it. Gene Smith, the AD of Ohio State, was questioning it. Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of Michigan, was questioning it. James Franklin, head coach of Penn State, was questioning it. All those guys questioned it after Nebraska questioned it. Nebraska's the morons because they don't get in line, but all these other people can be out of line as much as they want. Yeah. It's a crock of you-know-what. Nebraska put the wheels in motion on this thing, all right? And they helped turn this thing. I'm not going to give Nebraska all the credit because you needed more than Nebraska, obviously. Yeah. But they're the ones that came out right off the bat from the very beginning. Scott Frost said, we want to play. We'll play anybody, anywhere. And he didn't say we're leaving the Big Ten, which Wilbon and all these other people totally weren't listening to. All they was saying was, if we can't play in the Big Ten this year, Big Ten ain't going to let us play. We want to play somebody somewhere anytime because football's gigantic and Lincoln, Nebraska, and the state of Nebraska. It's the professional sport. That's all they were saying. That was all they were saying. But when you never leave the studios in Bristol, Connecticut, you don't know what the hell's going on in the flyover country in Nebraska or Kansas or Oklahoma, do you? So there is a world outside of Bristol, Connecticut. There is a world outside of the East Coast, believe it or not. So good for Nebraska. Well done. Then there was the hot mic situation with the president yesterday, Ted Carter, which I think was funny because it was kind of like Nebraska saying, well, we'll be the first ones to leak it out. We're the first ones to challenge this. And I wouldn't be shocked if that was done on purpose, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And good for them if it was.
Yeah.
And if the Big Ten wants to kick Nebraska out in a few years, so be it. The Big 12 will be here with open arms saying, come back. And Nebraska may say, good, we'll come back. Because I know Nebraska's not happy with the way that's handled. And neither was Michigan. Neither was Ohio State. Neither was Penn State. So don't sit here and act like Nebraska went rogue. They didn't. They just had the guts to speak up right off the bat. And I commend Scott Frost big time for having the kahunas to do it. And once again, didn't say, we want to leave the Big Ten. We hate the Big Ten. No, we want to go to the Big 12. Never said that. Never, ever said that. They just said, we want to play. Shame on them for wanting to play. What a horrible concept. Guess what? Now they're going to play. Good deal.
Yes.
Good deal. I'm all for it. Okay. Brian Smoller was with us yesterday. He was our guest, senior director of broadcast services, play-by-play guy for K-State University. And we reviewed the K-State loss to Arkansas State. More on that in a moment. And Brian says, you know, there's no excuses. K-State lost fair and square. But he does point out there are some facts to consider in the loss to Arkansas State.
You know, you get into a dangerous zone of talking about excuses, which I think Cliff Kleiman, I mean, he's one that doesn't want to make excuses. Now, the facts are K-State had a couple of weeks with guys in and out of the lineup, starters that mostly weren't in the lineup on the offensive side of the ball because of COVID-19. I think the defense took, and the secondary especially, took a hit with COVID-19, some guys rotating out prior to the game. And then the injuries during the game and leading up to the game also hampered the secondary quite a bit. So looking at those three positions, the offensive line, wide receiver, and then secondary, and those are the three areas that really kind of seem to take the brunt of it through injuries and COVID-19. If you're looking at that, then, that kind of explains those are the three problem areas on Saturday.
Yeah, not making excuses, but he does make some very valid points as to where K-State struggled, no question about it. Now, more on Arkansas State. Fresh off their win over K-State, Arkansas State announced yesterday that its game against Central Arkansas on Saturday will be postponed to Saturday, October 10th, as the Red Wolves program deals with a depleted position group. The university's announcement did not mention COVID-19 specifically. However, the team was missing 9 starters and 13 players on its depth chart in their win at K-State on Saturday. The school's announcement said it is unable to assemble a full 2-deep depth chart at a specific position group due to player unavailability. They'll resume their season next week against Tulsa. The Arkansas State Central Arkansas game is just the latest game scheduled for this Saturday to be postponed, joining Virginia, Virginia Tech, BYU Army, and Memphis Houston as scratches from this week's slate. Now, Kansas State, we talked about the loss. They got Oklahoma coming up next Saturday, Big 12 opener in Norman. The Sooners, of course, are a top 5 team in the country. Most people, almost every single year when K-State plays Oklahoma, K-State fans and pretty much everybody in the country don't give K-State a chance, and you know what, of beating Oklahoma in football. But yet we've seen K-State do it multiple times over the years. Okay, we've seen a Big 12 championship. They were never given a chance. They won that game. I know we're going back a ways. They've gone to Norman, and they've won before in Norman. They've beaten Oklahoma and K-State, you know, multiple times. Almost won with Alex Delton at quarterback, and Baker Mayfield was a quarterback on the other side. So K-State has been able to beat Oklahoma over the years. Not every year, certainly. I'm not saying they own the season's the series lead over the last 20 years. Not saying anything like that. But K-State has an identity, or at least they're trying to have that identity, under Chris Kleiman, his second year as head coach. And Chris Kleiman had a very interesting comment yesterday during the press conference, and I applaud him for this. Chris Kleiman's sitting here talking about this year, brand new line, brand new offensive line. You know, some coaches would panic and go get some JUCOs to try to fill the gap, this and that. Chris Kleiman and his staff, they have a plan, much like it was up in North Dakota when he was there and they won championship after championship. The formula worked there, and it worked pretty well last year, although it's the first year. And you really shouldn't judge a coach, in fairness to Les Miles and Chris Kleiman, you shouldn't judge a coach fully until probably year 4 or 5. If they're given that much time. Here's Chris Kleiman, in it for the long haul.
If I were in year 8, I'd say let's try to throw some gimmicks in there. Let's try to fool some people. But we're in year 2. And so we are going to follow our philosophy and rules and principles, even if that is playing at a position where we're down, if that's playing at somewhere where we're not as equipped as we are in other spots, because this is an absolute marathon for me here and not a sprint. I'm not sprinting to say I have to do this so that I can go get another job, or I can do this, or I can help this. We as a staff are making sure that this is a marathon so that we as a staff are here for the long term. And I'm not a quick fix guy. That'd be different if I said, hey, let's go get 15 JCs because we don't know if we're going to lose guys. We're going to go get 15 D1 transfers. That's not my philosophy. That's not our philosophy as a program and as a staff. So we've had this conversation as a staff on Sunday. Do we get to the gimmicky? Do we do this? And we all collectively as a staff said, this is who we are, and this is who we have been at a previous institution, and we aren't going to change that. And so are we going to maybe take some lumps periodically this year? We may have to, because I don't want to say come spring of 21, all right, let's go back to what we wanted to try to do, because now I think you've lost a ton of time.
I love it. I absolutely love it. That's a coach that stands true to his convictions. Also, it helps when you have an administration that he knows he has full support. You know, if Chris Klieman had a rough first year and you had an AD that was a little shaky on some shaky ground, Chris Klieman probably couldn't make that comment. So he knows Gene Taylor's got his back. Plus, he had a good first year, won 8 games, made it to a bowl game. But I do love hearing that from coaches. Stick to the plan. Don't panic. Don't freak out. And we've seen teams do that. You know, Charlie Weiss getting all the JUCOs. You know, I couldn't help but hear him say about, you know, we didn't add these JUCOs or we could have done that. You know, Charlie Weiss did that and put KU in a big old hole, a crater trying to dig out of. And poor David Beatty, although he did choose to take the job, had to inherit all that when he took it. And now Les Miles is dealing with it. And KU hasn't recovered ever since. Not that they were doing great right before it, but still, that really did not help. It was one of the worst hires in college sports history, and we knew it when it happened. We talked about it on the show. When Shane Zinger got Charlie Weiss, we're all looking at each other like going, what are they doing? And it was just a colossal train wreck and a disaster for KU football, and they still haven't recovered from it. And it's maybe going to take another 3 or 4 years for them to recover from it. Yes. So that's an example of not doing it the JUCO way in regards to going this way. You know, KU is going to take time. One of the things you could say about Les Miles is he's going mainly high school route. So that's going to take time. So you got to be patient as a KU football fan. And, yeah, that loss to Coastal Carolina makes it hard to be patient. At the same time, who else wants the job? So just let Les Miles play it out the way he wants. Give him at least 4 or 5 years. And if nothing's happening 4 or 5 years in, then okay, maybe you got to make a change. But by then, if Les Miles can't do it, why is anybody else going to try to take the job? You're going to get some young up-and-comer that you don't know much about, possibly. And maybe that's the person that you need at KU instead of Les Miles. I have no idea. But I think Chris Klieman is the right man for the job. When he was hired, I know a lot of people weren't excited about it. K-State wanted the flashy hire. They wanted Venables. They wanted Luttrell. They wanted others. I think this is going to be a good hire. And I said this when Miles and Klieman were both hired, that I think for the long haul, and it's interesting because Klieman said long haul, his words, I think Klieman is the better hire of the two long term. Now, I'm not saying that Les Miles is a bad coach. I'm not saying Les Miles can't do good things at KU. What I'm saying is, 10 years from now, I think Chris Klieman will be a head coach at K-State. I don't think Les Miles will be a head coach at KU beyond, well, I think if Les Miles is a head coach at KU for 5 years, I'd be impressed. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's going to be there for another 10. And granted, Kleiman's younger. I get all that. First, you know, D1 job. I just think for stability for the program, long term, Klieman is the man. And he's going to have that support as long as Gene Taylor is there. Kansas, meanwhile, Les Miles, his job is to turn things around and then probably going to have to hand it off, maybe to an assistant on a staff, and maybe that'll work. We shall see. It'll take some time, no doubt. College hoops. Today, we'll get some clarity on the start of the college basketball season. Yeah, we're talking basketball. Division I Council will vote on the start date, either November or 25th of November are the most likely options. The Royals' winning streak comes to an end yesterday in Detroit. Well, we said it, you know. Big mismatch on the mound, right? Danny Duffy versus Matthew Boyd with an ERA over 7. And what do you know? Matthew Boyd shuts down the Royals.
Sends one to deep right. Back goes Merrifield. Still looking, and that ball's gone. A solo blast from Miguel Cabrera. And the Tigers have increased their lead to 4-0.
Royals lose 6-0. Offense goes bye-bye, disappears, and so did Danny Duffy. More on that in a moment. Right-hander Jacob Junis started in place of Duffy, gave up 5 earned runs and 2 in the third innings. Keep in mind, in fairness to Junis, he didn't know he was starting until 10:30 yesterday morning. Why would that be? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Here's Mike Matheny on Junis being the man on the spot at the last moment to start, and he struggled.
Certainly, it's different, and I know all of our guys are trying to stay prepared because they never know what happens in this game. I mean, there's late scratches. There's guys go out in the first inning and need somebody to pick them up. I mean, there's sort of things always happen, but it's definitely different than knowing that you've got the ball and have 4 days to prepare for it. Just never got in a spot where he made his slider as relevant as he needed to make it, and then the fastball command really wasn't as sharp as what we were looking for tonight.
All right, now, Danny Duffy, here's a story. He was scratched. Kansas City Police Department said officers were called to a suspicious car and occupant at 16th and Jefferson around 6:45 Monday evening. They found a man in an illegal parked vehicle. The SUV was off. The keys were not in ignition. Police confirmed there was some damage to the vehicle that made it unstable to drive, and the owner had it towed. Because there was no crime committed, police did not make an incident report, and therefore Duffy was not named. Mike Matheny said that Duffy missed the flight. He wasn't going to get there on time. We're still getting all the information. It, bottom line is, he missed the team flight. I was very happy I was able to get here to Detroit last night. We're having conversations and sorting through the details. Matheny said he's not aware of any legal issues involving Danny Duffy. As for when Duffy will start again, Matheny has said we haven't gone down that road yet, which is interesting. Matheny explained that when it became apparent Duffy would not be able to catch the charter in a reasonable time, the team said, we're going to head on out and you got to catch up with us. Physically, Duffy is fine. He addressed the team prior to Tuesday's game at Comerica Park in Detroit. Matheny said, and I quote, he takes ownership. He spoke to the team, apologized for the distractions. This guy is a very well-liked guy in the clubhouse because of the way he treats people and how he invests in his teammates. He knows that things like that are not the way he wants to be portrayed or thought of. It's not the example he wants to give. He's remorseful, and he shared that with his teammates. It was good that Danny got up and took some ownership. It's a situation he didn't want to happen. A couple other guys spoke up, and they support each other. This is a group that cares about one another. End of quote from Mike Matheny. I'm not going to speculate.
No.
But Duffy did have an incident a few years ago where basically he drank too much and passed out in a vehicle in a fast food drive-thru.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there to say he has had a bit of an issue. I don't know if that has anything to do with this. I don't want you to connect the dots. I'm just throwing out there that he has had a problem away out off the field before. Nothing major, but still significant enough to affect the team. And there's no doubt he affected the team's winning streak last night. That was a distraction. And then you have to put a guy in that didn't know until 10:30 in the morning he was going to start. That's really a tough spot to put a guy into. As a starting pitcher, you got to get in the mentality you're going to start. You know your routine and everything else. Now it's thrown out of whack because Danny Duffy had some kind of issue, and we don't know what it is. So stay tuned. We'll get more information, I'm sure, on all of that. Hockey playoffs. Oh, wait a minute. Before I get to that, Major League Baseball postseason, here's the deal. The wild card games will be played at the higher-seeded site. The best-of-three series will be at a higher-seeded site. But then the NLDS best-of-five series will be in Arlington, Texas. The NLCS will be in Arlington. The World Series will be in Arlington this year. There's no home field advantage for anybody in those series. It'll be in Arlington. The other NLDS will be in Houston, Texas. The ALDS will be in San Diego and L.A., and the ALCS will be in San Diego. There could be a problem, though, with all the fires out west, air quality, that they might have to move all these games from San Diego and L.A. when they get to the ALDS if the fires are still a problem. The backup site is Phoenix, Arizona. So there will be the wild card best of three series will be at the higher seated site. They'll host with no fans, it looks like. And after that, it's neutral sites for all the rest of the Major League Baseball playoffs, which makes sense, and that's what they got to do. So be it. Yeah. And people joke that the Rangers now get a host of World Series. Won't be a part of it.
Yes.
Which is true. Which is very accurate and very, very true. Hockey playoffs last night. Exciting game again, and the Islanders stay alive.
Lightning get the draw. Shattenkirk fanned on the shot. Chipping away the puck is Anders Lee. He's got Eberle with him. Here's Lee. Eberle scores! And the New York Islanders have forced a sixth game.
The Islanders stay off elimination. They win in double overtime over Tampa Bay last night. Tampa Bay still leads the series 3-2. Game 6 is tomorrow night. 7:00, game 7 necessary Saturday at 6:30, and game 7 would be on regular NBC, but game 6 is still relegated to NBC Sports Network, if you even get that.